In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all of the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Levelling up is a phrase in UK political discourse that many of us will be familiar with. But despite its familiarity, its meaning and definition are harder to pin down. Research by the Centre for Cities, an independent policy research unit, reveals that less than half of the UK public understand what levelling up means. A white paper is set to be published soon, which will hopefully provide some clarity. The general aim of levelling up is to address regional inequality between different parts of the country. But there is clearly a lot of work to be done in translating this big idea into actionable, long-term policy solutions. Some worry that the promise of levelling up will turn out to be unfulfilled. We have learned, I think, to be sceptical about big political promises, because political parties so often have short-term election-grabbing priorities as their focus. This just seems to be the way that political power operates. Political power is often short-lived, and this often gives rise to short-term thinking. It would be easy to think of this as a very contemporary phenomenon, but the third chapter of the Gospel of Luke begins with a list of individuals who had a great amount of political power. Emperor Tiberius, Pilate, the imperial governor, Herod, Philip, and Lysanias, who each ruled a third of the kingdom of Israel, Annas and Caiaphas, high priests who feature in the Passion narrative. Although powerful in their day, the power of these individuals did not last long. Tiberius was murdered, Pilate was executed, Herod, Philip, and Lysanias were either exiled or killed, and if it wasn't for being mentioned in Scripture, we would know nothing about Annas and Caiaphas at all. All this reminds us just how short-lived and temporary human power is, and just how futile the struggle for political power can be. Set against these individuals who were powerful in the eyes of the world, we are introduced to John of Zechariah. He was not powerful or rich. He lived in the wilderness, in the desert, as though he were in exile. He lived as an individual without power or influence, but for one fact. The word of the Lord came to John. the word of the Lord came to humble, unpowerful, uninfluential, unusual John, a name that means God has shown his grace and favor. On this second Sunday of Advent, we remember the prophetic voices of old who upheld an alternative vision to the political voices of power, the voices that focus mostly on short-term goals and power-driven ideas. Prophetic voices are rooted in vision, not vanity. They speak truth to power. They root their ideas in the Word of God and the wisdom of God, an eternal perspective that cuts through empty rhetoric and self-seeking ideology and speaks straight to the human heart. Prophetic voices do speak of leveling up, in a sense, of the proud brought low and the humble lifted high, of clearing out the clutter in our hearts, of straightening out the crooked, smoothing out the rough, and creating a level playing field so that all flesh can see the salvation of God. Leveling up, in a prophetic sense, is about humanity and God in right relationship to one another, with one another, and with the whole created order. One prophetic voice we are invited to listen to today is from the Oracle of Baruch. This is the work of an unknown prophet. It has been attributed to Jeremiah's scribe, who bears the same name. The book is not included in the Jewish canon, nor in that of most Protestant biblical canons. In the Catholic lectionary, it is one of the books of the Apocrypha. The text has echoes of other familiar post-exilic prophets envisioning the exiles' return to the land of Israel and to Jerusalem. Initially, the prophet addresses the city, Jerusalem, destroyed by the Babylonians and left in ruin during exile. It is as if the city is clothed with a garment of sorrow and affliction. Hearing this phrase, we might think of modern-day cities that are likewise clothed with a garment of sorrow and affliction. Cities devastated by war, natural disaster, poverty, pollution, urban isolation. We might think too of displaced persons, the exiles of today, who have been forced to leave their homelands and make unthinkable journeys in search of safety. The prophet then invites the city to take off its garment of sorrow and affliction and to be reclothed, to put on the robe of God's righteousness, God's justice. The prophet gives the city, Jerusalem, a new name, righteous peace, godly glory. The words justice and righteousness permeate this new vision. They evoke right ordering, the ordering that is of God and God's desire for the universe. They paint an image of level ground, where barriers of hierarchy are broken down, where dangerous ground is smoothed out so that all may walk safely in the glory of God. The image that the prophet selects to give expression to this right and just relationship is significant. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command. Just like the gospel reading last week, which described the fig tree sprouting leaves as a sign of renewal and hope, even in the midst of turbulence and fear, this week we have another image from nature, the fragrant trees giving shade and protection, health and survival. We know this to be true on a literal level. Trees are essential to the health and survival of the planet and all living beings. On a spiritual level, we are being invited to remember the power of God's word, God's command, to bring peace and sanctuary, even in the midst of sorrow and affliction. Just as the word of the Lord came to John, cutting through the powerful voices of his day with an eternal power to save, that same word comes to us today, bringing peace, joy, and mercy, even if we may still be surrounded by sorrow and affliction. John proclaimed repentance. The Greek word for this, metanoia, means a change of mind. Perhaps we might say a change of mindset. Whenever our mindset is focused on the seemingly powerful voices of our time, whether that's politicians, the media, advertising, or any other number of influencers, we are always going to end up disillusioned and disappointed. If, on the other hand, we can change our mindset to a prophetic one, an eternal perspective rooted in the Word of God and the wisdom of God, we can tread a different path, a level path, a peaceful path, a joyful path. For God will lead Israel with joy in the light of his glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our coming Lord. We believe in one God,
Father, Almighty.